For a few years, it was really the only way to escape from Fianna Fáil. I went back to the 18th century. And Fianna Fáil doesn't really exist before Daniel O'Connell's party machine. It began then. But it doesn't exist in the 18th century at all. In fact, there's a common thread of thought running through the 18th century, which is that we live in an unfortunate and misfortunate land, but none of us are to blame. That is both Catholic and Protestant commentary on the 18th century. And it's a beautifully relaxing century to visit. So, in fact, I invented an entire character, a Catholic merchant of the city of Cork, which the city of Cork having produced immensely wealthy Catholic merchants involved in the butter and grain trade. As Elizabeth Bowen comments, and it's a very interesting perception in her Bowen's Court, she says that the penal laws of the 18th century, which prevented Catholics from actually opening and owning bank accounts, led to the impoverishment, particularly of Southern Ireland, that in fact all of the immense wealth being created by Catholic trade was actually being banked in Italy and France. So you see Catholic families, even in the early 19th century, from Cork, who had bankers like Plowden and Trench of Florence, like the O'Mahonys of Blarney Woolen Mills and that. But all of that capital actually was excluded from Ireland and may have in fact led to the demise of many great Protestant estates in County Cork and Waterford. Anyway, that's just an aside. It was a complex century. Nathaniel, I have him go to Rome and be in Rome when Pope Clement prescribed the Jesuits, which was a big tactical error on the part of the Catholic Church. But it led to a lot of very wealthy Italian and Spanish families coming into very good property cheaply, which is actually something I used to think only was invented by Fianna Fáil, but it was actually it was actually practiced in 18th century Italy as well. But Nathaniel falls in love with a beautiful, of course, because it's fiction, Italian, and he decides not to be a priest, but really to come back to Ireland and just be rich instead. And so it's a collection of poems, Merchant Prince, published by Andrew Press Poetry in London. If you have a chance to give it a chance, do. It's the centre is a novella, which is a kind of literary trick in that I have Nathaniel remember back and translate four Italian poets, but they have very suspicious Italian names like Princess Nulana Nigonelli, which of course anybody would know was Nulana Nigonel, and Il Capitano O'Sharkey, which everybody will know is Carlo O'Sharkey. And so I rendered their poems from Irish into English, but I replaced all the Irish place names with Italian place names. So it's as confusing as it sounds. But actually, I enjoyed doing it. It really was an escape from Fianna Fáil for 7 years it took me to do it. At the grave of Amadé Dil Wallace, I imagine Nathaniel, being a wealthy 18th century Catholic in Cork, would have many Church of Ireland friends and Presbyterian friends, indeed, who were the backbone of society then. At the grave of Amadé Dil Wallace, 1800. October sun attends at the gate of your graveyard, as if October were the first soul to greet Odysseus. The world has gone under since Amadé died, your sweet boy trampled in a riot over the union of our kingdoms. For this our hearts wear a wicked burden, the endless canvassing of monies with foreign peers upon the invaded keys. It was the godless talk of favours, peerage and pocket boroughs that fell upon your youngest child. I am chilled by the grieving mother, poor Amadé, who so longed to travel north. My heart is broken that he never saw Belfast. Over her grief, we should pour libations of wine, oils and perfume, first fruit of the south, something pure out of the antiphonal singing. To our unhappy land, I dedicate a lock of jet black hair, his lock, your little son, Amadé, called after heaven where love is. He is gone to the pastoral charge of our history. Through him the new century reposes in earth, nurse and mother of all things. Reverend Dill Wallace, you have caught a chill. History weighs upon you with the grief of abandoned fathers. Though in a boy, it is hardly history, more the clear and personal tone of music, the sound of a mother's crying, grief's persistent noise, like the long comus at Agamemnon's tomb.